Our lesson this morning is out of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15, God's edifying program of giving. False teachers claiming to be apostles had entered the church in Corinth, and they had tried to promote their own views while discrediting the person and the message of the apostle Paul. This was a difficult situation for Paul, as readers were immature believers who had been saved out of corrupt backgrounds in a city known for its vice. So they were easy prey for false teachers, and Paul had to be careful how he handled the situation lest his readers think that he was being unjustly defensive and discredit himself. So on the subject of donating one's money, Paul could not appear to be unrighteous before believers who had been led to doubt his character and who might think that he was trying to influence them for his own interests of greed. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 16, Paul gave insight on God's edifying program of giving. So we view the passage for our insight, our application, and our edification as follows. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer. We'll get into His Word. Father, we thank You for the opportunity that You have granted us to be able to meet here this morning. We thank You for the indwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit of God, who authored Scripture, who illumines the Word of God to us. And if we rely upon Him, He equips us actually to live the truth. So we ask for wisdom to utilize these ministries this morning, and that for the glory of our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, I'll read the passage and then we'll look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 6 through 15. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. As it is written, He has dispersed abroad, He has given to the poor, and His righteousness remaineth forever. That's a quotation out of Psalm 112, verse 9. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything into all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of the administration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Okay, as a general rule, a believer should give with an attitude of liberality, namely of big-heartedness. This is verse 6. A believer who sows sparingly, that's a figurative reference for who donates to God's interests with restraint on the amount that he gives, will reap sparingly, meaning he will reimburse from the Lord with a very modest amount. However, he who sows bountifully, who donates with liberality, will reap bountifully, meaning he will be reimbursed from the Lord with a bountiful amount. So that's one side of the coin. We have two sides of the coin here. One is God is encouraging us to be big-hearted in our giving. However, there's the other side of the coin as well. However, a believer is to give the amount that he cheerfully decides to give for himself. Verse 7. A believer is to donate what he himself personally decides to give. I've heard a lot of talk about tithing. Tithing is 10%. Tithing was required under the Mosaic law. You had to give 10%, and then there was another tithe that was on top of that. Actually, they ended up, by the time they gave to the Lord's work and they gave to the government, ended up being about 17%, which is pretty close to what we pay by way of federal taxes today. It's interesting. But anyway, a believer is supposed to donate what he personally decides to give. Now, when people ask what should I give, generally we say around 10% is something that is a workable amount. If you want to start a church, the rule of thumb is you take 10 families that are roughly giving around 10% of their gross, and that supports a pastor who needs to live. On the other hand, if people are giving, like me, 3% of their giving, it's going to take a lot more families than that just to support a pastor in a local church. But we generally say, as a rule of thumb, around 10% is a wholesome thing. But nevertheless, we don't make that a requirement. In fact, when you come and you join the church, no one's going to ask you to submit your last 3 or 4 years of 1040 so we can figure out what you're supposed to give, and then we send you a bill as to what you're supposed to give every year. I've actually heard of that being done. We don't do that at Epoch Church. I give. Members of our board, I'm sure, give. We don't know amongst ourselves who gives what. There are four people who know: the treasurer, the assistant treasurer, and the two auditors, and they're elected every year by the congregation. So that's a wonderful thing. So we give what you personally desired to give. Now, in doing this giving, we should neither give reluctantly, that's the Greek word lupe, which actually means to grieve, nor under compulsion, anagke. Now, compulsion is any kind, whether it's an inner guilt or an outer guilt that is put on you under pressure from within or from some other Christian or Christian leader. God loves one who gives cheerfully. There are all sorts of abuses of this. I'll never forget, I was talking to my father-in-law one time. He was still living, and he had supported a national minister of one kind, and the national minister had sent back a form letter saying, well, we know you can increase that giving by $25. And this relative wanted to know what to do, and I said, no, if I were you, I would not give him another penny. Said he's trying to twist your arm, he's trying to manipulate. That's wrong before the Lord. So God wants you to choose to give what you got. How does he know that you can actually part with another $25? He has no idea. So there's no way anybody should be setting an amount as to what you should give. So the amount that is actually given should be set by the donor at the level that he can gladly give. So it's interesting. On one side of the coin, God wants us to be big-hearted. The other side of the coin, God doesn't want you to be so big-hearted that it actually hurts you to give. No. You need to give the amount that makes you cheerful. Now, as we get into the program here, you're going to see that as God reimburses, when a person gives properly, he's going to reimburse a little more so the person will actually have the ability to give more. And that's an encouragement for the person to increase his giving as life goes on. But that's something that's between the believer and God. That's not between the believer and the church leaders or somebody else and God. No, it's just this believer and God. Very, very important. Well, God is then able to make all grace abound toward the donor so that he will obtain all material sufficiency in all things at all times to meet his own livelihood needs and also continue to abound in every good work of making additional future donations. And Paul explained this program in verses 10 and 11. When a donor figuratively sows, in other words, he makes his donation to the Lord's interests, God will then reimburse that donor with some seed for his own livelihood needs, what becomes the donor's bread, because that seed, he breaks it down and makes it into flour and then makes bread. That's the picture that's out of it. Then the donor will have some seed of monies left over so that he can donate again. And as he gives or he sows again, that seed will increase the fruits of the donor's act of righteousness. Just as you sow a few seeds, you're going to get some plants that produce a much bigger amount. And the point is, as a person receives this reimbursement from the Lord, it's a little greater. If he chooses to increase his giving a little bit more, he's going to see that the reimbursement of the Lord will be that much more. And as you go on in life, this thing keeps expanding. I actually heard of a case where there was an elderly woman who was living on Social Security. And when she died, it created a real problem for missionaries because she was ending up supporting full-time 5 missionary families. Because the Lord had provided graciously for her to have a lot of income besides just the Social Security. And in faith, she just kept expanding it. So it was a tremendous testimony of this woman's faith. I don't recommend that because that can, you know, create a lot of pressures. It's better to give directly through a church. And that way it doesn't create a problem if you happen to die ahead of time. But anyway, it's interesting how this increases the production. Now, when the donor becomes involved in a lifelong ministry of giving with the Lord's resulting reimbursements, he will not only be used of God to supply the material needs of other believers in God's service, but he will also cause many who are helped by the donation to give much thanksgiving to God. We've had over the years wonderful letters of thanksgiving from missionaries when we've been able to give, and we give in that missionary box that is above. And many times the missionaries have said we had a bill that was coming up, and that extra amount exactly meant what we had, what we needed. We've had that testimony happen many, many times. So it becomes a source of blessing to them and thanksgiving, and they write these notes back to us, which is a wonderful thing. Now, this thanksgiving will glorify God due to the donor's submission to the Lord that rises from his confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of the donor toward other needy believers. Furthermore, such a giving program will enhance the unity between the donor and his recipient, what will lead to thanksgiving to God through the church for his inexpressible gift of salvation to believers and its overflow to the whole ministry of giving among those who have been saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the reason God gets glory out of this is that we've been saved by the Lord, and so we're motivated to give as a result of the Lord's work in our hearts. And that creates a lot of blessing and unity and thanksgiving throughout the church, especially to people who are receiving the monies, who are serving the Lord. And all the glory goes back to God, because God's the one that motivated the giver in the first place to give. So the lesson is, God's edifying program for those who give to his interests involves believers giving with an attitude of liberality, that means big wholeheartedness or big-heartedness, balanced by their giving the amount that keeps them cheerfully giving, not doing so reluctantly or under compulsion. As they donate, God reimburses the donors with financial resources that meet the donor's livelihood needs, along with enabling them to give ever-increasing amounts. This all glorifies God, causes recipients to abound with thanksgiving to the Lord, and enhances the unity of the church to the glory of the God of peace, or the God of grace. So in application, may we participate in the Lord's great edifying program of giving for the glory of God. And if giving is a new and intimidating ministry for us, may we start out small so God can reveal his blessing to us. And by the way, if you haven't been giving and you want to start giving, I recommend, because I don't want people to think that we're somehow greedy of your money, start giving to a missionary, someone else. There's a worthy cause, someone who's serving the Lord. Start there and see what the Lord does. And I encourage people to do that. Don't feel threatened by that at all. Because I know the Lord, when he blesses his people when they give, it's a wonderful thing. Many years ago, this is a true story, there were a group of men who were meeting together. They knew they needed to get a church started. There were a group of people who wanted to get a church going. This happened, I think, in Nebraska somewhere. And so you had a group of the men getting together, and they started to pray. They got down on their knees and said, "Lord, we need money. We need to build the church. The people are ready to go. We've got a sizable group of people here. We just need the money for the building and the property." So they started to pray, and all of a sudden, one of the men, middle, he started sobbing out loudly. He says, "Lord, I have two farms. You know good and well I only need one. I've got to sell that one farm and give it for these people. They need a church." And he just blurted this out. And everybody looked shocked. They opened up. The Lord had put him on a tremendous conviction of that, and he had two fairly large farms. So he did. He went out and sold one farm and donated that to the group. They were actually able to use that to buy property and build a church. And the church got started that way. But it was interesting. The man did give. He came under conviction. He knew good and well he didn't need two farms. He had one. But the Lord used him that way. So there are all sorts of stories. When my father started out candidating to be a missionary, this is back in the 40s, during the war, World War II, he went up to Feather Falls, California. There was a little church up there. And there was an elderly man there. And this man was moved by my father's presentation. He wanted to go out to Africa and reach people in Africa for Christ. So after the service, the man had a Model A and he had the keys to his Model A and a title. And he turned, he signed the title, gave it to my father, gave him the keys, and he says, here, I want you to use this to go around and get the support that you need, because you're going to have transportation to get the support that you need so you can go to Africa and be a missionary. He just gave it to him, like the boom, like that. And my father, of course, never forgot that that man is now, of course, he's with the Lord. He died many years ago. But he just had a heart. He knew he didn't need that Model A. And in those days, Model A's, you know, they ran forever. So he went ahead and used that. In those days, everything was rationed. You couldn't buy tires unless you had the certain government stickers for it, because they were rationing everything for the war effort. So this is a big thing. God provided. And ever after that, when we came home, my father insisted on going up to Feather Falls and meeting with the church up there. The giving from that particular church wasn't that high, but he never forgot the giving of that man who gave them Model A. So it becomes a tremendous blessing, this matter of giving. But you're going to hear from some people, you need to give till it hurts and then give some more. We never say that. Giving should be a blessing. And I actually tell people, if it hurts to give that amount, back it off. Back it off till it becomes a blessing. If you have to back it off to a nickel, God bless you. You know, if you have to back it off to a penny, for goodness sakes, okay. But start there and then let the Lord lead, because it's a real blessing to be used of the Lord to affect a lot of people and to affect the ministry of God. Through one's giving. And so there's a tremendous sense of satisfaction and blessing to be able to, because Jesus said, as Paul quoted him in Acts 20, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. It's true. And then there's reward for that in heaven. Okay, we'll open it up for feedback. It could be on this particular lesson itself. It doesn't have to be. If there's an entirely different subject that you'd like to address, something else perhaps has come up.